Lamentations chapter 3. I am the man that has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He has led me and caused me to walk in darkness and not in light. Surely against me he turns his hand again and again all the day. My flesh and my skin he has made old. He has broken my bones. He has built against me and surrounded me with gall and travail. He has made me to dwell in dark places as those that have been long dead. He has walled me about that I can't go forth. He has made my chain heavy. Well, I think that these are Jeremiah's thoughts when he's in the dungeon, and he's pretty sure he's going to die. And he is depressed. And yet we know that God used Ebed-Melech to save Jeremiah out of that awful situation where he was about to die in the dungeon. And yet, these are his thoughts, I suppose. He wrote them up later on as he looked back and realized how depressed he'd been. And yet, in that depression, he cried to God. And God saw through the depression and saved him. Yes, when I cry and call for help, he shuts out my prayer. He has walled up my ways with cut stone. So there's Jeremiah shouting out to God for help, but the top of the dungeon, it's really like a sewer shaft, was blocked with stone they'd put on it. And he could see the cut stone of the walls going up above him. And he feels that God has walled him up and that his cry is not going to go all the way up there, not even going to get through the stone they've put on the top of the dungeon. He has bent his bow and set me as a target for the arrow. He has caused the shafts of his quiver to enter into my kidneys. I am become a derision to my people and their song all the day. He has filled me with bitterness. He has sated my thirst with wormwood. He has broken my teeth with gravel stones. He has covered me with ashes. I imagine they were pouring all the rubbish and ashes and everything down the dungeon, and it was hitting Jeremiah on the head. And yet he quotes here really from Job, really. He's certainly alluding to Job's feelings and depression. And there you are. Although he's depressed, that was sort of, I suppose, understandable in the situation he was in. And yet his mind is still in Scripture. He sees that he is not without precedent, that somebody else went through this in the Bible, as it were, and that was Job. I said, my strength is perished, my expectation from Yahweh. Remember my affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. My soul still remembers them and is bowed down within me. This I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. It is because of Yahweh's grace that we are not consumed, because his compassion doesn't fail. It's new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Yahweh is my portion, says my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. Yahweh is good to those who wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. It is good that a man should hope and quietly wait for the salvation of Yahweh. So it could be that he's having these feelings now as he writes up his feelings after the event, after he's been saved. Or it could be that even in the dungeon he had those feelings, that as he saw chinks of light through the top of the dungeon, although they'd put a stone over the hole, he realized that day was dawning and then it was getting dark and then day was dawning again, and he saw in that God's grace. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. You remember Jeremiah had to wear a yoke to show that he believed that they should surrender to Babylon. And that was one of the reasons they had thrown him into the dungeon. Let him sit alone and keep silence, because God has laid it on him. So it is good that a man in his youth realizes that he is alone with God and is against the world. And God often works in the life of young people through various experiences to make them realize that. Let him put his mouth in the dust, if so be that in this case there may be hope. Let him give his cheek to him who strikes him. Let him be filled full with reproach. For the Lord will not cast off forever. That is, even if he's given his cheek to reproach and his mouth is in the dust, God will not cast off forever. Though he cause grief, yet he will have compassion according to the multitude of his grace. For he does not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. to crush underfoot all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside the right of a man before the face of the Most High, to subvert a man in his cause the Lord doesn't approve. Who is he who says, and it comes to pass, when the Lord doesn't command it? Doesn't evil and good come out of the mouth of the Most High? So that is again showing that he's influenced by the memory of Job, who said, shall we not receive good from the hand of God, and shall we not also receive evil? You see that none of these men, Job, Jeremiah, etc., none of them believe that God gives all the good things and some cosmic Satan, evil dragon gives all the evil things. They believe that both good and evil comes from God, as Isaiah 45 says, God makes the light and he creates the darkness. He makes peace and he creates evil, in the sense of disaster, not sin, but in the sense of evil disaster. Why does a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins? Let us search and try our ways and turn again to Yahweh. Let us lift up our heart with our hands to God in the heavens. We have transgressed and have rebelled. You have not pardoned. You have covered with anger and pursued us. You have killed. You have not pitied. You have covered yourself with a cloud so that no prayer can pass through. You have made us an offscouring and refuse in the midst of the nations. So I think that as he remembers how he prayed to God in the dungeon and it seemed that his prayer was shut out, was shut off by the stone on the top and the cut stone walls that were above him as he looked upwards. So he thinks that he, as it were, represents Israel. And that's why he talks about us. You have punished us. You have done this to us. He doesn't separate himself in his mind from his people. Like Ezra, when he prayed to God, he said, we have sinned and I blush to lift up my head to you. So Ezra, Daniel, Nehemiah, there's lots of examples of these faithful men who really felt that they were so connected with God's people that they felt ashamed for what they had done, although they hadn't personally done it. And so we also should feel that connection with the body of Christ, the body of believers today, even if it is extremely weak. Well, our reaction to that shouldn't be to slam the door and say, ah, yeah, well, I'm out of here, but rather to feel ashamed that that is how the church is, that that is how we as the new Israel have become. Fear and the pit have come on us, devastation and destruction. My eyes run down with streams of water for the destruction of the daughter of my people. My eyes pour down and don't cease without any intermission until Yahweh look down and see from heaven. Well, the Jews had several times tried to kill Jeremiah. They'd put him in the dungeon. They'd done awful things to him. There were several attempts on his life in the course of his life, as you read in the book of Jeremiah. And now that they're being punished, he doesn't gloat over them. Instead, his heart weeps for them. It really shows the lovely character that he had. They have chased me relentlessly like a bird, those who are my enemies without cause. They have cut off my life in the dungeon and have cast a stone on me. Waters flowed over my head, I said, I am cut off. So as I say, when he was in the dungeon, he felt he was representing Israel, but in reality, he very nearly died, and they poured stuff over his head. They threw rubbish and garbage and water into the dungeon so that he was really going to die there. But I called on your name, Yahweh, out of the lowest dungeon. You heard my voice. Don't hide your ear at my breathing, at my cry. You drew near in the day that I called on you. You said, don't be afraid. So earlier in this chapter, he was saying that he cries out to God and his voice sort of echoes up there, up the stone-cut walls of the dungeon that he'd been thrown into. And it seemed that God was not listening and that the stone that was over the top of the dungeon, over the entrance hole, that was blocking out his prayer to God. But now he says, you've heard my voice. You drew near in the day that I called on you. You said, don't be afraid. Well, I think that it was Ebed-Melech who shifted the stone off and shouted down, don't be afraid. And it was Ebed-Melech who drew near to him and let down the ropes with the old cloths for him to put underneath his arm, under his armpits, so that the rope wouldn't cut into his armpit, and lifted him up. So it was God who worked through Ebed-Melech in pulling Jeremiah up out of the dungeon. So when it says, he says that God said, "Don't be afraid," these are the words of Ebed-Melech. So when you go, as it were, to the dungeon to rescue people who are really in a bad situation, you are, as it were, playing the role of God. Your voice to them is God's voice. And this is the greatest way to live. Not enjoying yourself, just indulging your own pleasure, but being out there trying to help people in the name of the Lord Jesus and in the name of God. Yahweh, you have seen my wrong. Judge my cause. You have seen all their vengeance and all their devices against me. You have heard their reproach, the lips of those that rose up against me and their device against me all the day. You see their sitting down and their rising up. I am their song. You will render to them a recompense, Yahweh, according to the work of their hands. You will give them hardness of heart, your curse to them. You will pursue them in anger and destroy them from under the heavens of Yahweh. Now I think that now Jeremiah is lamenting the fall of Jerusalem, as he appears to be in the ruins of the city and the burnt out temple. I think maybe he's looking back and he remembers how he cursed his people, and how he asked God to judge them, and now he sees that God has judged them. So be careful what you pray for, because you may well get it in spirit. And don't pray for cursing judgment upon people. David did this over Saul, over Absalom, and then when they died, he wept. He was so upset, realizing, of course, that he had, in a sense, wished this on them, and now it had come upon them.